Well, we've got a few minutes left here. Hi.
Hi.
Let's go. We're starting a new series, The Law of Giving and Receiving. You know, this is a season for giving. This is where we celebrate the ultimate giver, God, who so loved us that he gave us Jesus. It's the law of giving, but it's also the law of receiving, too. God wants us to know that you can't outgive him. Come on, guys, you hear? You can't outgive God. You got to get excited about this. This is something that he set up. And I know it's been taken advantage of and everything, but it doesn't cancel out the fact that there, for every counterfeit, keep looking. Because if there is a counterfeit, that means that there's a real.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
So let's look at the truth of these things. And I think we'll be on our way to a new way of life, so that you're not tethered to this world's economy. I mean, it goes up and down. Thieves break in and steal it. We have identity theft and all kinds of stuff going on. Property and mortgages are being stolen from people. Bank accounts are being stocks. You know, if it's in this world, believe me, it is vulnerable. Jesus said so. But if you give it to him, boy, you're giving it to faithful hands, and where moth and rust does not corrupt. In other words, the influences of this fallen world will not get in there and influence it. It won't corrupt it like itself or devalue it. You know, it's like a heavenly bank account. You know, God gives wonderful dividends. Amen. Let's get right into our weekly confession here. Let's read this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Subtitle of this is What Giving Says to the Unseen World. What giving says, what your giving says to the unseen world. You know, there's a world. We as believers, the things that we do, the things that how we respond and react to life, how we do it, says a lot to unseen forces, unseen life forms. Amen?
Amen.
What we do, our manner of life, the word, it tells them when we react or we plan or we do or we certain things, it tells the enemies of your soul, let's put it that way, what your preferences are, what your priorities are. It reveals your motives. He watches you. He studies you. It reveals our tastes. And the list goes on, all right? But my point is here, the enemy is always looking for inroads to try to get into our life and mess it up. Why is that? Because he doesn't want his house plundered. Think of this. I'll get into that in a minute. And when I'm saying this, when I say you're giving it, what it says to the unseen realm, I'm not just talking about the demonic realm. I'm talking about angels. I'm talking about God. I'm talking about Jesus. You know, Jesus was watching the treasury one day, and rich people were throwing stuff in, and, you know, it's all good. And a little widow woman, all she had in the world was two mites, like a quarter of a cent or a half a cent in our economy. Jesus says she gave more than any of them. Because he measures our giving not by how much we give, but by the heart in which it is given. God looks upon the heart. He always has. To a willing heart will I look, the Lord says. To a willing heart. Hebrews 1:14 talks about angels. It says, are they not all ministering spirits? That means servants. Minister means servant. Sent forth to serve or minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation. Look, we are the heirs, joint heirs with Christ. We are joint heirs. If they serve Jesus, they should be serving us. I'm not, you know, a joint heir is not a sub-heir. It's equal. Jesus, when he said that his victory is our victory, he means it. He didn't do that for himself. He didn't go through all that for himself so he could be raised up. No, he did it for you, to raise you up to where he is. People saying, you're trying to bring down to God, down to our level? No, he's already raised us up to his level. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. This isn't in my notes here, but it's just coming to me now. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's go there. I hear a little voice that's very, very precious to the Lord. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Boy, do I love that verse. Even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. He has come down. He came down to our level so that he could lift us up to his level, and to crown us with the glory and honor that he put on Adam in the first place. The same. You know, to think anything less than that is to put more value on what Satan did to mankind than what Jesus did in the redemption. What he did in the redemption is so much greater than what Adam did. Got to look at it that way. If you don't look at it that way, you're going to miss the whole deal. There's good things going on for us in the heavenlies, in the spirit realm. God sends forth his angels to serve us. And Dwight brought it up earlier. Are they not ministering spirits? It says the angels excel in strength, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Hearken. That means to hear and obey. That's what hearken means. Now, here's another thing. Sometimes without even talking, your giving talks for you. And do you know what? If the angels have to hearken unto the voice of your words, of his word, when you speak it, then fallen angels have to do the same thing. The fallen angel, the demonic realm, has to listen to the word of God. They can't. He's tried to stamp the Bible out of this world. Why? Because he doesn't like to take orders. Neither does your flesh. But we don't walk in the flesh. We are in the spirit. And if we walk in the spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So here's the deal. When we do the word of God, it's as good as speaking the word of God. James said that. So when we do the word of God and we give to him, when we give to those in need, when we give of ourselves, it starts sending off a signal to the angels to back you up. It sends a message to the demonic realm. I better get out of here. I better stop messing with his stuff. What we do, what we give, our giving, says something to the unseen world. And there are forces that we don't even know about. I mean, it goes on, that we can activate. We have a covenant that is so valuable, so strong, and so backed with power and light and strength for us, that if we do these things, you know, Jesus said, now that you know these things, happy are you if you do them. This is what he's talking about, because you've got armies waiting to do something. They're just waiting for orders. And you know where they get their orders? From you. Angels get their orders from you. Charles Capps wrote a whole book on angels, and that's one of the whole chapters in the book. He goes on, they're waiting for you to say something. If you don't say something, what can they do? I remember a story. This was the guy who led my brother to the Lord. His name is Bill Birch. He lived in Bellwood, Pennsylvania. And there was a revival. This was at the height of the charismatic movement, too. And he said churches were getting all turned on for God. And this one church, a guy drove by that church and he saw it was on fire. He saw a fire in that church. And he went to, he didn't have cell phones back then. He went to a phone booth and called the fire department. And the fire department showed up. And they saw the fire, but it wasn't burning the building. Here's what happened. The church was on fire with the Holy Spirit. Wow. You know, we have record of that at the burning bush. I mean, God can do this stuff. Yeah. And there was one guy who looked up. In that service, he looked up and he saw these flames. It was glowing, warm. It wasn't a fearful flame. It was a friendly type of warmth. And he looked up and he saw the angel of that church. And you know what he's doing? Nobody's giving him any order. Nobody's talking and nobody's saying the word of God. They were all praising God, but nobody was giving an order. Nobody was saying, give us the word that we need to give to this community. And give us whatever it is. Give us the set up the situations that we need set up to spread this gospel to our community. Nobody was saying anything like that. They were enjoying his presence. Nothing wrong with that. But man, you got to take his presence and go. Because it's the presence of God that will change this world in your life. Presence of God in that church. So we're missing a lot. When we think we're really having a lot of good things happening, a lot of times we're missing a lot. Right. Amen? Yes. You guys here? Yes. Praise. God wants us to know these things for a reason, because he's with us. He wants to equip us. He's not condemning us. He's not saying, oh, you poor thing. No, he's not doing that. He's saying, oh, you are so loaded with power. Just let it rip. Yes. You know, God's cool. Turn to Philippians chapter 4 with me, and I'm going to read from 15 through 19. We're going to talk about some things that are going on in the unseen world through our giving. He says, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, that's where Philippi is. It's in Macedonia. So Paul established, he wrecked prison. He got the prison guard saved, the jailer. He got him saved and his family, started a church there. And I believe that the Philippian jailer was the first pastor of Philippi. But then it came time for Paul to leave. He says, at the beginning of the, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. So obviously, this was a message that he was preaching to all the churches, whether it be Ephesus, whether it be all the churches of Galatia, whether it be Corinth or Thessalonica or any of these other churches. He preached this all over the place. We have evidence in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. He says, but this I say, he which sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. This is the word of God. This is God speaking to you. Amen? This is God's light being imparted to you, his life. This is a life that is available to every believer. And he which sows bountifully shall reap bountifully, every man according as he purposes in his heart. So do you want to sow sparingly? Do you want to reap sparingly? Or do you want to reap bountifully? How are you purposing in your heart to reap? That's what you sow. To God. You know, sometimes you just got to empty the drawers and say, do over. You know, Lord, I'm yours. Show me how to operate in your economic system. That's the one I want to have working in my life. I don't want to have to be bankrupt. I don't want to have to put things where they're being stolen or whatever in the hands of men. I want it in the hands of God. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a what? Get excited. Get hilarious about it. Give. Give. God so loved that he gave. Yeah, I got to give out of love. I've got to give out of faith too. And faith always has an objective. You see, you know, some people say, well, what do you believe in God for? What are you sowing for? What do you believe in God for? And they say, well, you know, whatever. Oh, that's big faith talking, isn't it? Oh, whatever. I'm going to cut to the chase here because I don't have much time. You do these three things in your giving, you're going to move the spirit realm. You're going to move the unseen realm. Number one, give like God is paying attention. Give like God is paying attention. You know why? Because he is. We have record of that in the Gospels. He was watching how they gave. Give like God is paying attention. That'll snap you to attention and you'll be given for the right reasons, the right purpose. Number two, give with a harvest in mind. Means get a notebook. Start writing down and tracking what you believe in God and sowing for. Number three, give like your generosity is opening up God's generosity. Give like your generosity is opening up God's generosity. Now the devil will come right in your ear and say, well, that'll make you broke. The devil didn't write this. God did. The Spirit of God wrote this. So he says here, Philippians, you're the only guys that communicated in this. They're the only church that was really blessed too. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. When Paul was in Thessalonica, I mean, there was fights that broke out, everything. There was division. You know, he went to the Jews first. They threw him out. He went to the Gentiles, everything. There was a big court thing and the magistrate and so forth. It was a real mess. And they threw him in jail again. Somebody said, you know, when Paul showed up at a town, the first thing he did was check out the prison, see where he's going to be staying. But... because there was either going to be a revival or a riot. He didn't care. He's going to get the truth out. People are people. You got four kinds of people. You got people who a little persecution comes their way, a little affliction, they're gone. Then you got others, the cares of this life, the lust of other things and deceitfulness of riches, they choke the word and it's unfruitful. Then you got those who are by the wayside, it just bounces right off them. And the birds come up and eat. Then you got good ground. So you got four kinds of people. And if they hear the truth, they're going to come. They're going to come. And by the way, that's not the majority. It's never the majority that wants to hear the truth. It's never the majority that really takes the word of God seriously. You know, Jesus said, go to Jerusalem, wait for the promise of my Father. He said that to 500 men. On the day of Pentecost, there was only 120 left. 380 already gave up. There's always been a remnant that God honors. Even in Thessalonica, once and again, you sent to my necessity. And it says in another place that they had to beg and scrape and do everything. They had to go do fundraising just to get him the money that he wanted. That he needed, actually. He said, and not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. The Apostle Paul had really emptied himself of any personal ambition. He wanted the gospel to go out. He said, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus. This is a household name, I guess. But Epaphroditus, could you pass the salt, please? You know, it's like, I just picture, you know, them saying these big, long names to each other at the table. This is the way my mind works. By Michelle, by Tony, by Stephanie, by Wyatt. Remember, the 180, the 120 and the 380. God bless you guys. Not because I desire, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And having all, I abound. I am full. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Do you know what happens when you give into the gospel? When you back somebody who wants to preach the gospel? When you do that, God gets involved. A sweet, sweet. There are things that go on in the unseen realm when your desire is to put the gospel out so that people can get saved. You know why? Just think of this. Here we got a world that was taken over by the devil. Death reigns in the hearts. These are children of the devil now. They received Adam's fallen nature, and it just, they're children of the devil living in darkness. How did God, when God lost his family, Adam and Eve, what did he do? He sowed a seed into the earth. His name is Jesus, the seed of Abraham. He sowed him into the earth. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. Then he ascended on high. And anybody who believes in him will be saved. That means they'll be born again. That means they will be new creatures, recreated humans, like God intended, with a life infused with the life and nature of God. And one by one, we're picking the devil clean. He doesn't want that. He wants to rule over people in darkness and fear and deception and sickness and disease and wars so he can obliterate 6 million Jews. And there is no redemption for the devil or his demons. None. But we have the word of reconciliation. We have the word of redemption in the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation, so that we can get this stuff out and pick his house clean and get those people out of the torments of fear of death is the number one fear. Fear of that, all the uncertainties of life and everything that is unsettled in this world, it'll always be unsettled. There's no settling in this world. There's no peace in this world, not until the Prince of Peace comes back and sets this thing up. And for 1,000 years, it's going to be, wow, this is wonderful stuff. How does it happen? We got to get the gospel out. And you know what? The more you give, the more you will receive. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. How is it? These are kingdom principles we're talking about here. They don't work in the earth. They don't work in the world system. You got to have a renewed mind. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. How is it that those things are added to you? Well, heaven is a place, right? The kingdom of heaven is how heaven operates. And it all belongs to God, who is the revealer of all truth. So when you seek first the kingdom of God, you are operating in those kingdom principles. And those kingdom principles will produce the harvest that you need. That's how those things are added to you. You're involved in the whole thing. Like Brother Hagin used to say, these things won't fall on you like ripe cherries off the tree. No, you've got to seek these things. Seek first the kingdom of God, how he operates, how it's done. These are the things that produce the fruit that remains. These are This is abiding on the vine. This is power that is in you that needs to be put to work. Operating kingdom principles and his righteousness. This is not your righteousness. This is his righteousness. Meaning that when you believed Christ and you received him as your Lord and Savior, you were given the gift of righteousness. You were infused with his very own righteousness that he cannot deny. He will not deny his own, the Bible says. His righteousness and all these things will be added to you. That's how it works. That's how these things will be added to you when you operate in the kingdom principles. These are God's principles. And God is not a failure. God is not somebody with something up his sleeve. That's what the devil sold to Adam. He said, he's got something up his sleeve. He doesn't want you to, because you'll be just like him. But he already was just like him. Duh! You know, and the devil says stuff to you like this, and it's like, and he leads you down this thing, and you go, oh, really? Wow. You got to stand up. You got to be rooted in this. Yes. Rooted and grounded in God, in love. Amen. That you might comprehend what is the length, the breadth, the height, and the depth, and to know God. Yes. Know God. Walk with God. Work his principles. Say, well, it didn't work. How do you know it didn't work? Have you left this world yet?
Nope.
How do you know that that fruit hasn't been? How do you know it's a, how, I, there was a guy who, Laura and I were going to a church, and there was this guy who had leukemia. And he stood up before the church. He says, you know, God has not chosen to heal me yet. And afterwards, I said to him, how do you know that he hasn't healed you yet? Well, because the doctors are telling me. I said, well, okay. But how do you know that God hasn't healed you yet? Well, because I'm still sick. Okay. Let me see. How do you know that God hasn't healed you? You see, the thing is, the Bible says he's already healed us.
Amen.
What does that mean? I mean, that's confusing to the natural mind because my body says I'm sick. His word says that I was healed by the stripes of Jesus. What's going on here? Well, quit saying that you are sick. Quit saying that God has not chosen to heal you. That is pretty close to blasphemy. When God says one thing and you say another, it doesn't matter what your body says. You walk in the truth and walk in the truth. James called it the law of liberty. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. What is it? It's the law of liberty. If you continue it and continue it and continue it, keep saying it and saying it and believe it and believe it and say it and believe it, believe it. What you say and believe in your heart will move mountains. And as long as you can move your mouth, you can move mountains. Move until you're free. But don't say, well, I'm still sick. Don't say that this sickness is greater than God's ability to heal me. Don't say that. God, nothing is impossible with God. And no word of God is void of power. Keep with the word of God. Keep with the word of God. Gotten a little off track today a little bit. But look, things go on. Things happen when you speak the word of God. Things happen when you do the word of God in giving and operate in the law of giving and receiving. Write down what you're believing God for. Write down, this is what I'm sowing into. This is how much I'm sowing. I'm sowing into this and I'm sowing into this. And if then God's got a track, you write down the vision. So now you've got a track record and God says, cut back on this and do this. Okay. Now you've got something, you've got instruction coming from the Holy Spirit that can maneuver you into the place that you need to be. Amen. This is how you can track. Because if you just flip it up and say, well, I'll give this and give that, before you even get in your car, you're going to forget what you did, unless you write it down. Am I right or wrong?
Yes, you're right.
Most of you said that's right. But here's the thing. We need our finances delivered from this world. We need our attitudes delivered from this world. We need all these things delivered from the darkness and from the lies and from the deception and pull it out, all out from under that, and put it in the light. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we say we have no sin, the truth is not in us, the Bible says. We all have the propensity because we have a flesh. But inside, we are recreated humans. We are recreated children of the living God, filled with the Zoe life of God, the nature of God, and everything that is God is right inside us. And that word lines us up with it. And when we act like it, when we give like it, like he's paying attention. Give with a harvest in mind. Yes. Yes. Write it down. Yes. Keep a log. Keep a log. Did I say three things before?
Yes, you did.
And give like your generosity is opening up God's generosity. With him, there's no shortage. And you've got an entire battalion of angels, an innumerable company of angels here in Mount Zion in the church that will start to work for you. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it will not return to you void. It will accomplish what you sent it to do. And we thank you, Father, that we, like the soldiers, endure hardness and we endure tough times, Lord, because we know at the end of the trail, you're there. At the end of the trial, there is freedom, there's power. At the end of the temptation, there is deliverance. At the end of the test, there's a reward. And we thank you, Father. That's where we look. We look at the prize of the mark of the high calling of God in Christ. Thank you for your presence in your word and in our hearts. We leave here equipped in Jesus' name.